It's one of the publishing world's biggest secrets, rarely talked about and rarely exposed. It's ghostwriting. They're the anonymous scribes who make a living writing other people's stories. And with a growing number of celebrities and high-profile personalities wanting their stories told, ghosting is booming. David Conn isn't averse to a spot of haunting. He's been ghosting for about 10 years. He ghostwrites all manner of books, from memoirs to business to self-help, politics, even magic. And David Conn's on the line from his home in Florida to talk to us about the trials and tribulations of ghostwriting. Welcome to the Book Show, David.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, tell me about what kind of ghost you are. I mean, are you that the purest kind of completely invisible and bound to silence ghost?
Well, no, I'm not bound and gagged generally. I work with or without my name on the cover. So obviously I'm more interested in one where my name is right there for everyone to see. I can and do talk about my credits within the industry, but if silence is required by contract or by understanding, then I honor that.
And within the industry, does that mean on the radio show, The Book Show, to Australia?
No,
it's not included. So if you're trying to, if you're pitching a job and say, look, I've ghostwritten X, Y, and Z, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I have one that I'm looking at right now where I was able to say, well, I've already written a book related to this topic, and here it is, and you may want to take a look at it and see what you think.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's like a, like really any other occupation, you have to have credits in order to have credibility.
Sure. Well, you wrote under your own name for a good 10 years before you began ghosting. Why make that decision to decide to write other people's books?
Oh, my. Why become a ghost? Well, actually, there were several reasons. One is I had been writing articles for more than 10 years, and quite honestly, after you've seen your stuff in print more than 1,000 times, you know, the glow dims. So I was getting tired of article writing. At the same time, I found I was helping people communicate their story or information in ways that were actually a lot of fun. I mean, this is, for me anyway, it's really been just a very enjoyable trip because I get to work with a Holocaust survivor. I get to work with corporate people. I've even done a book on day trading. So how much more fun can you get?
So, all right, so you it's not an ego thing for you.
No, I wouldn't say so. I enjoy writing a book which sounds like the person I'm writing with. I get to capture their voice. I will tell you there's one other reason that I became a ghost. I wanted to get into books, but I'm an introvert, which is great for writing. It's not so good for promoting. So I get to sit alone in a room with a phone, a fax, and a computer and do my work.
So,
and then I don't have to go out to book signings.
Okay.
And I don't have to go on tour.
You don't have to go on the radio very often either.
No, I don't go on the radio very often. This is my first.
Oh, good on you. Well, welcome. Tell us about, though, the process of ghosting. What do you have to do?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, what's the first thing? I mean, how are you normally approached?
Oh, well,
if a cricketer wants to write a book about his life but obviously can't write, what happens then?
Well, people are in touch with me or I'm in touch with them in a variety of ways. It could come from a literary agent. It could come from a corporate person. I wrote a Holocaust memoir with a man who's been through quite a bit. And the reason I met him is because a mutual friend used the same copy shop I did. So it happens in all kinds of ways. I may even get a response to an ad. You just never know.
So you wrote a memoir for this Holocaust survivor. What was the process of you getting the story?
Well, he had a fair number of pages of transcript where somebody had interviewed him, but didn't do a very good job. So I had some information to work with. But for the most part, basically, he and I spent close to a year and a half in a room in our local library. He happen to live near me. And I would talk with him and talk with him and talk with him and interview him and interview him. And then I would type really, really fast.
What about the chemistry required for that kind of connection? Because, you know, in that case, there's a very upset person telling you very upsetting things. How do you manage that?
Well, you don't do a book with someone unless you think you've got to you're going to have chemistry to begin with. It's just bad chemistry makes for bad books. So we had good chemistry. And, you know, we started working on stuff that was really difficult for him. And by the time we got to the stuff that was really difficult for him, we had a level of trust established, although I can't say that he felt really good about me at one particular point. If I might illustrate.
Yeah.
This is a very, very, this is the kind of subject where, you know, you have to gain people's trust, and then you have to cause them pain. And what I ended up doing was kept pushing him for the details, the sounds, the sights, the way things, you know, smelled, looked, what they heard, what they sounded like. And the very, very worst period was one batch of hours when I was talking to him. Well, maybe I should explain. He went through three death camps and a death march. And for about 18 months, he carted out office trash and corpses for Joseph Mengele. So what I had to do, because this is, you know, you can't do a book like this without getting the details. I had to practically stand on him and reach down his throat in order to get him to describe what the corpse pile at Auschwitz looked like, sounded like, smelled like. And after I was finished with that particular subject, he broke down and cried. And, you know, who can blame him? But this sort of is a dimension of being a ghost. I told him it would be okay for him to break down and cry. You know, it's a terrible experience, and reliving it couldn't possibly have been any fun. But I also had to tell him that he shouldn't expect me to break down and cry, because if it's okay if he does, if both of us do, we're not going to have a book.
So what happened to that book then? Did it do well?
It got done. It got published.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that I told you that I don't end up doing book tours, we ended up doing several signings in several different cities.
And why did you go?
Well, the publisher insisted on it, because this was a guy who'd been through a terrible amount. And had a lot to say, but wasn't himself a great speaker. So they needed someone along who could be, this may sound a little immodest, but who could be a polished presenter, you know, sort of help put his story in context.
So were you outed then as the writer?
Yes, I was, actually. Well, on this particular book, Ghostwriters, it's kind of a misnomer. The best thing to call people who do what I do is collaborators. We collaborate with the authors. Sometimes we have our names on the cover, and sometimes we don't. In this particular case, I had my name on the cover, so I wouldn't say I was outed. I was enthusiastically having my name out front to begin with.
Right. Look, you've ghostwritten a lot of different kinds of books we've mentioned, and you've mentioned books on day trading and management and such like. What about celebrity autobiographies? That's a pretty lucrative business.
Well, you've got to have great connections in order to get them. And frankly, nobody has offered me a celebrity biography.
I read that the ghostwriter for Hillary Clinton's memoir, Living History, was reportedly paid $500,000 US.
I'm not surprised. I also remember reading, this goes back a little ways, that she went through three writers in order to get to that one. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, and by the way, I wouldn't turn down a check for $500,000 if someone were to offer it, but nobody has offered me a celebrity biography, and to be honest with you, even if someone did, chemistry still counts, and if the chemistry is right, that's great. Be happy to take the money, be happy to do the book, you know, and
since you first got into ghosting, have you noticed an increase in the number of books being ghost-written?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't really, you know, focused on that very much. I think I've noticed it, but I don't really track it very specifically.
And what about the rumor mill? Are there always rumors about a book not really being the book it looks like on the cover? Or can you smell a ghosted book?
I'd love to tell you that I can read a book and have a pretty good sense of whether it's been ghosted or not. One of the ways you can tell if a book has been ghosted, it's not foolproof, but it's to look at the acknowledgments. And if you look in the acknowledgments, sometimes the writer will be phrased quite lavishly. And,
like what? Like what sort of phrasing should we look for?
Without whom this book could not have been finished, might be something like that. I haven't really indexed the phrasing, but if it's really enthusiastic and it's not really clear who this person is, you might suspect that. I think that it's also fair to say that celebrities and many other people, corporate executives, just a whole bunch of folks, are squeezed for time. And writing a book takes a great deal of time. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if there has been, but let's just say I doubt that there's been a reduction in the number of ghosted books. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's been an increase, just because people are more and more squeezed for time. And, you know, even if you're committed to the book, you need the time and the talent in order to do it yourself. So that's where the ghost comes in.
So do you think ghostwriting is the publishing world's necessary evil?
Well, I would say it's necessary, but I wouldn't say it's evil. I would say that it's necessary because, I consider it a service to both the readers and the authors, and not too incidentally the publishing world as well.
But it is hoodwinking the reader, isn't it? A ghosted book that's got the name of the author on the front and the cover, which is actually not true.
I used to worry about that, but when I went on the road with my Holocaust survivor, you know, and people knew I was the writer, they didn't care. Nobody asked me the questions. Nobody said, well, how did you end up turning this great phrase, or what made you able to accomplish this great description of a gas chamber? People ignored me. They didn't care who had written the book. What they cared about was what the person had to say, whether it was a story like the ghost, like the Holocaust writer, a survivor rather, or other books that have been more about information, whether it's state rating or running a business or things like that. But even my experience in that particular instance was that even though people knew who I was, knew I was the ghost, I was still invisible. They just didn't care.
What about the people who you ghost for? Are they grateful enough, do you think?
Well, it's a business arrangement. I don't think we're looking for gratitude. Don't misunderstand me. I enjoy appreciation as much as the next person. And whether I'm doing a book, sometimes I'll do revisions or editing as well. And people will say something if they're genuinely appreciative. But I like that. But to be honest with you, whether it's the editing, whether it's the revising, whether it's writing a book. I very much want them to feel as though I have captured their voice, I have reflected what it is they want to say, and that they have been expressed well, even if they weren't the ones to do the actual expression.
So it's almost like a portraiture, isn't it?
In some ways, it very much is. You really do need to capture that person's voice. I wouldn't, write a book of you sounding like my Holocaust survivor.
So do you ever miss finally not writing your own stories?
Well, yes, I do miss writing my own stories, and there's a lot of ego involved in that, and I admit it. However, I do get the cash check. I like that a lot.
Okay. David Conn, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
David Conn, ghostwriter, joining us there from his home in Florida, and we'd love to tell you what books he's written, but it's a secret. You're on The Book Show with me, Ramona Koval, on ABC Radio National.